is living now.
Today we're going to continue our summer series we've been in all summer long called All In. So many of you give me feedback today about this series. So many of you give me feedback about what God is doing in your life. Some of you are already saying, Pastor, man, every week I'm getting different ones sending me messages about, you say, how'd you know I was going through that? And I really needed to hear that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit today, because as I share today, I share one message, but many people here will get different things spoken to them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes a message that's presented, and then he takes it, and if we open up our hearts and our ears to him, he'll design that message for you to get exactly what you need to hear today, and he'll begin to convict your heart and strengthen you as you listen. So today, I hope you're tuned in. My mind's alert. My heart's alert. I'm awake, ready to receive. Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord? All right. Today, we're talking about going all in. We've said this statement several times, is that we talk about the statement about going all in. It's kind of the same statement people use when they talk about maybe it's a gamble. You know, I go all in. But let me tell you, this is no gamble. Going all in with God is the safest bet for your life. You'll never regret giving full surrender to what God wants to do in your life. It's the safest place you can live. And the sad part is that for many of us, it takes a lifetime journey to get there. Now, today I want to talk to you about learning to trust. All in with our trust. All in with our trust. Let me say today that for many of you here, we have trust issues. Come on now. For many of us here, we have trust issues. How many know for any relationship that has trust issues, that relationship is going to be weakened? Whether it's a marriage, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a personal friend, whether it's a family member, whether it's your children, whatever it is, when you have trust issues, that relationship suffers and becomes weakened. Now, strong relationships, strong marriages, strong relationships that are developed, they have gotten past their trust issues and are learning to trust. I believe in our own life today that in the church that we have many Christians who have trust issues. We have trust. Somewhere along the way, somebody has hurt you, and we suffer with trust issues. Now, how many like GPS and thank God for GPS technology? How many remember the days when you actually had to get a map? How many remember the days when computers came out, you actually would print out directions turn by turn? And you're like, this is the best thing, man. You just print them out, 2 pages of directions. And your wife's like, turn left, turn left, turn left. You got to tell me sooner. How many remember when GPS first came out when it had 3G? And you're like, pass it. Oh, I just missed it. What, Siri, you got to tell me sooner, you know. But now I love it. That technology is right on time. If you have good reception, man, you can get that GPS in your car or on your phone. You know, but every once in a while, that GPS messes up. And I remember a time recently where there was somebody who invited me to their house here in town, and I was just going across town, and I wasn't sure exactly where the address was. So instead of calling them up and asking them how to get to their house, I just put in the GPS, you know, and I think I'm going to be right there. And I start going around all the Joplin, taking me around in circles. And finally, it takes me to a field, and it says, now get out of your car and walk a half a mile. No lie. It took me to a field that told me to get out and walk a half a mile to another part of the field. I'm like, something's wrong with this address. I went around, and I finally called the person. I said, hey, man, where do you live? Just tell me how to get there. What do you buy? Oh, okay. I passed you about 4 times already. Sorry, I'm late. And I think this happens in our life many times that we see this happening, that we take it's frustrating when it takes a long time to get somewhere, because as a man, it is my job and duty to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible. I've got to know the shortest route, right, guys? It's our mission in life. We want to find the best route, the fastest route as a husband, as a father, as a man. It's something about my DNA. I want to get there. The ladies, we know, you don't care. You'll take the longest route and it doesn't bother you. Oh, this is pretty over here. Look at this over here. But guys, we want to get there as soon as we can. And it bothers me when I know I've taken a route that wasn't the quickest route. And now I'm always looking, right? GPS, I pull up the big picture. Because I don't trust it. I'm like, I want to make sure you're telling me the right directions. You're not taking me the long way to get somewhere. And see, this happens even in Scripture. We see where the children of Israel took a 40-year journey that in all reality should have taken about 2 weeks. Why? Because God had to keep them going out in the desert, wandering around in the desert in circles. They had some trust issues that he had to break in them before he could ever get them to the promised land. You see, in our life, many times, God's wanting to do something. He's wanting to take us somewhere different, but he's got to correct some trust issues in our life. And if we're not careful, we'll wander around the same place in circles, treading water, stuck at the same level, not getting where God's wanting us to go because we have trust issues with God that he's still trying to work out. Children of Israel had this. They were like, man, we're better off being slaves. We're better off working for Pharaoh. At least there we know where our meals are coming from. God, we're out here in the desert. Where are our meals going to come from? Hello? He just parted the Red Sea. You walked across the dry ground. He engulfed the whole army, Egyptian army, in the Red Sea, defeated your enemies, and now you're complaining? I mean, they had some trust issues. Oh, God, you can do that, but you can't do this. He took him 40 years to get that out. It took 40 years for him to flush out of that, so he kept him going through. I wonder how many of us are doing the same thing. We're circling the same mountains, and God's trying to do something in your life. There's something he wants to do new. There's something he's wanting to do, but he's waiting for you to go all in with your trust. You see, he's waiting for us to make this decision to go all in. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3, it says that God wants to form us in his image, being transformed in his image. He wants to take us from glory to glory, meaning he wants to take us from level to level. He wants a deeper walk with him. He's got something new in store for you. He wants to take you as a Christian. He wants to take you from glory to glory. What's that mean? That means he wants to take me from glory to glory. In the different season, from glory to glory. I'm discovering something new. I'm growing in him. It's a higher level, a higher dimension into what he has for my life. But for some of us here, we've been stuck at that same level a long time. You've been stuck at that same level a long time in your Christian walk. You haven't experienced the new things God's got for you because you haven't learned to go all in with your trust. So just like the children of Israel, God's going to keep us there. I mean, have you ever noticed something? It seems like a lot of our struggles have a common theme, doesn't it? You ever notice that some of your drama in your life has a common theme? Go back and think about it. A lot of the drama in your life has a lot of the same common theme. Could it be that God's trying to get you to realize, whoa, I need to make some better decisions when it comes to relationships. I need to learn to trust God first in my life in this area. I seem to have the same drama, the same problems, these same areas of my life. And so God is wanting us to go all in with our trust. Life without all in trust in God will leave you taking the long route every time. And so as a man, I want to take the shortest route. And as a Christian, I want to do everything on my side that I say, God, you're not waiting on me. Okay? I want God to know that I'm all in. I want God to know that I'm ready to take whatever route he's got for me. And I want to make sure on my end that I'm not circling the same mountain over and over again because I'm stuck. No, I want to go all in and say, God, I'm ready. When you're ready, I'm ready. Fully in. All in. All in my trust. I love what Proverbs says. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in God, the Lord, with all your heart. All of it, man. Here's that. That's that word again, right? All of it. All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but all in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So what's that mean? It simply means this. If you want the quickest way, you want your path to be made straight with God, then a life fully all in, submitted to him, God says, I will make your path straight. To that person who's all in, trusting God with every area of your life, getting past your trust issues, that person's path becomes straight. For the person who wants to lean on their own understanding, the person who wants to trust in their own understanding, God, I got this. I'm the man. I've got this under control. You just back up. I got this. God's like, all right, but your path's going to be just like this. It's going to be a long, winding road, uphill, downhill, back uphill, circling the mountain. You're going to, until you finally say, God, I don't got this. So how about now? We say, God, I want to give this up to you now. I'm tired of circling the same mountain time and time again. We're learning to go all in. I love what Romans 8:10 says, verses 10 and 11. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you what? Alive. Everybody say alive. Bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, look what it says. You are delivered from that dead life. With the Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. Listen, God wants to deliver us. He has delivered us from that dead life. Amen. We have been delivered from that dead life. Too many of us are living the dead life. Too many of us are wandering around in the desert, in the dead life. No, God's got a new life, a life that he's trying to do in us, through us. He wants you to come alive in him. He wants you to come alive in him. He wants to deliver you from your dead life. We have been delivered from that dead life. Let me say it again. We have been delivered from that dead life. We let our trust level in God change like the Missouri weather. How many know in Missouri you don't like the weather? Just wait around a day. Things will change. You know, I was thinking about, you know, last winter, and there was days I remember one time in the middle of winter, I went out to go to the gym, and I went out in shorts and short sleeves, and it was the middle of winter time. I was like, man, I don't need a coat today. It was so warm. I felt like going out and getting to run and exercising out in shorts. And then that very next day, we had almost a 50-degree change in weather, 50 degrees. And we started getting snowflakes, and everybody ran to the store to get bread and milk. One flake. I mean, you think about it. It's like one flake. I'm going to the store. Let's get all the milk, all the bread. Let me tell you something. I don't even like milk and bread. Honestly, I really don't like milk by itself. And I'm trying to do low carb, so I don't eat that much bread. But one snowflake happens, and something about me is like, I got to get to the store. I'm coming walking in with bags of milk and bread. What'd you buy? Milk and bread. I won. I beat somebody. I got the last 3 gallons of milk. Who cares if I don't need it or not or want it? I just find myself in a race against you. And I always try to get to places you don't think about. I get the last ones. All right. It's a competition. But, you know, why is that? We have this thing about weather. It changes, and it's unpredictable. You know, and our trust level becomes the same thing. Our trust level is so unpredictable. You know, we do things we would normally do. You know, and I know this because your social media. Many of you on social media, you know, you make my job preaching so easy. I don't even have to guess what's going on. I can just see right there what's going on in your lives every week. You're like, yeah, you need Jesus. That's all I know. You need Jesus. You're going to hell. Get up. All right. You need Jesus. All right. It's pretty easy. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, come on, several of you in here and several of your friends, you know what I'm talking about. It's like one week they're like, you know, posting every picture of Jesus. I like this picture. And you're posting scriptures and you're like, oh man, I love the Lord. And you change your profile picture to you and a cross. Instagram is a cross. All about Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, you get that pic going on. And you're giving all kinds of scripture out. And then the next week, you're like, oh, God. I don't know why I even trust. I give up. I'm not going to church ever again. I'm not trusting God ever again. People are going to hurt me. They let me down. I never trusted anybody again. I thought I had the right person in my life. God took him out of my life. Oh. Our trust level goes from extreme highs and lows, and that's not being all in. No, God wants you right here. No matter what comes your way, that you're not getting too high, you're not getting too low, but you say, God, I am steady. I'm getting steady. I am not wavering in my trust in the Lord. I've got to learn what that means to be fully in. So today, I want to look at a little bit of Joseph's life. I'm not going to read the whole story, but I want to give you some highlights of Joseph. You guys know Joseph, man. Great, great man of God. Dreamer, went through a lot of struggle in his life before he ever got to what God had given him for the dream. I want to pull out some things. This is how you and I can learn to trust and go all in with our trust. Genesis 37, we pick it up in verses 3 and 4. Now, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children. Everybody say, favorite. Okay. Loved him more than his other children. Hayden thinks this is him in our house. I just want you to know that. Dad, I'm your favorite. That's what he says all the time. Because Joseph had been born to him on his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph. A beautiful robe. But his brothers, everybody say, wow, a beautiful robe. Wow, that's a really nice gift, Dad. Anyway. I say that because, you know, today that would not really mean that much. You know, if one of my kids got a robe from me, they're like, you got a robe for Christmas. I remember one time Hayden got a robe from his nana for Christmas and he was so mad. He was really nice. Oh, thank you. And he went to bedroom and cried. I wanted the PlayStation 4. Okay. She gave me a robe. Sounds all right, you know. So a robe doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But back then, this robe represented a lot of swag, okay? It was multicolored, man. It gave him the attention, and it was a thing of prestige, honor that came from the father. It had a lot different representation, okay? So understanding, this is why his brothers were getting kind of angry at him, okay? And it says that they loved, because Joseph loved their father, loved him more than the rest of them, they couldn't say a kind word to him. Sound like your family? Okay, there we go. And so, and I love this story because we see in the story where they come up with this game plan. All right, let's do this. Let's get Joseph and let's kill him. And one of his older brothers, wait, guys, settle down. And I know he's always running off, but this is what happened. He goes to his brothers and says, listen, I had this dream and we were out in the fields pulling up the grains and all of my stuff. I collected, and you collected all your bundles, and all your bundles bow to my bundles, you know? And he starts telling these dreams. They're like, so you're saying that we're all going to bow to you, little brother? He's like, yes, that's what I'm saying, brother. That's what he said. I'm saying you're going to bow to me. And so they're like, let's kill him. Let's kill him. And one of the older brothers, a little more wise, says, that's a little extreme, guys. We don't want to have our brother's hands, blood on our hands all of our lives. So how about we do this? How about we just throw him in the pit, sell him, make some money, 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 money off of him. We'll sell him to the Ishmaelites when they come through. They'll take him to their land as a slave. We'll take his jacket the dad gave him. We'll rip it up. We'll pour animal blood on it and tell him a wild animals came and killed him. And he's gone. And that's it. We're done. That's a good plan. They're high-fiving. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. I mean, you thought your family had issues. Come on. This is talking about some family issues here. You know, as a father of five children and teens and young adults in my home, I understand these dynamics a little bit better. and they really come to life in my life. And I think about that, and I wonder, you know, how they get in this. And here's Joseph spatting out of his mouth, you know, how they're going to bow to him. And I was thinking about Hayden when he was about 6 or 7. He walked into the whole family one day, and he did his best Pastor Gene pose. He put his hands together like this. He says, "So, guys, I've been thinking. One day," he told his brothers and sisters this, "one day, this is all going to be mine, and you're all going to work for me one day." And so you can imagine how that went over really fast. You know, didn't go very good in their home. And this is kind of what's happening here. They're ready to get rid of their brother. He's the dreamer, little brother, you know. They want to give him a flying elbow, and they want to do more. They want to kill this kid. And finally, one brother talks him out of it. But they sell him off into slavery. And can you imagine Joseph's demeanor when his brothers tie him up and sell him off as a slave? Which brings me to our first point. Going all in with your trust means I'll trust God when people let me down. I'll trust God when people let me down. Because let me tell you, Jesus said it in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world, you're going to have trouble." And sad to say, but some of the people that hurt us the most are the ones that are closest to us. Sometimes it's people like family, as close to family, or even family members. Sometimes it's people who are blood related. Sometimes it's good, close relationships. And let me give you a little insight. True story. Sometimes even people in the church can hurt each other. I know, hard to imagine, right? It happens. People will hurt you. People will let you down. And you got to be ready, because your trust in the Lord does not waver when people let me down. Joseph could have let his trust be destroyed, but God did something in his life. We see the story picking back up in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 39. So now he's sold into slavery. Look what happens. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And the Lord was with Joseph. Hear this very true. The Lord was with Joseph. Sometimes you feel like you're alone. Sometimes you feel like God's forsaken you. But it says the Lord was with Joseph. And because of this, Joseph did not lose his trust in the Lord. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. I don't care what season of life you're in. I don't care if you're in the palace, if you're working as a slave, or you're working in the dungeon. It doesn't make a difference. When you trust in the Lord fully and you do the task, your attitude changes. God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm doing my job as unto you. This is not what I chose. I had a bigger dream. I thought I'd be running the company, not working as a janitor. I thought I'd be doing this new job, not working this old job. I thought I'd be doing this. But when you say, you know what? But what season I'm in right now, I still trust you, Lord. I'm going to give it my best effort. I'm going to represent you well. The hand of favor will be on you no matter where you're at. And even though he was sold into Potiphar's house, it says that he succeeded in everything, that God began to exalt him there. I trust God when people let me down. And it says, the story goes on to say in chapter 39, it talks about how as he's there, he gets exalted to the head of the whole house. He's running all the servants. He gets favor. And then Potiphar's wife comes to him and says, "Hey, come sleep with me." How many know she wasn't talking about a nap? Let's keep it real today. She would say, "Come sleep with me." She tries to seduce him, and he keeps, no, I am not going to defy my master. I'm not going to defy my God, number one. I'm not going to betray my master who's exalted me to position. So he wouldn't compromise his integrity. He wouldn't compromise what God had called him to. He did the right thing, right? He made the right decision, right? And then he flees, she takes his jacket, and then she yells, "He tried to rape me. He tried to seduce me. Throw him in prison." And he gets thrown in prison for something he didn't do, even when he made the right decision. You see, sometimes you do everything right and you still get in trouble. I'm going to tell you, like, sometimes you do everything right and you still get in trouble. I had a guy come to me one time. He said, "Pastor, I've got this thing going on at work. My boss is doing things that are illegal at the job. He's doing things against company policy and things that are very questionable as far as the law." He goes, "But I'm supposed to do what he's told me to do, but I'm having a hard time doing this. What should I do?" I said, "You just do whatever you feel like God's telling you to do, and God will take care of you." And so he went to the boss of the company and said, "Hey, my boss is doing some things that aren't right here." And how many know that guy got promoted right away to, like, no, that's not what happened. The next day, the guy got fired. It's like, I made the right decision. I did the honest thing. I did the integrity thing, and I lost my job. What do I do, Pastor? I'm like, hey, God's going to honor you. You keep the good attitude. You keep the right thing. You know, it was with less than a month, he called me up and said, "I just got a job making twice as much as I was making at my old job with a company that walks with integrity." He goes, "I am thrilled to death. That was the best thing that ever happened to me." But see, we don't see that sometimes when we make the right decision and we get in trouble for it. We get falsely accused and someone lies about you even though you're walking with integrity. I know what that means. I know what that happens, and you do as well. How will you respond? How will your trust waver? No, all in trust is no matter what. I'll trust God when things don't work out. I'll trust God even when things don't work out. I remember one time in my life, we were been offered, we just came straight out of Bible college, my wife and I, and we were offered this great position in ministry in Indiana, and it's this really big church, and I was wanting to be a youth pastor, and they had state-of-the-art, at the time, youth facilities. They had full, everything you could ask for as a youth pastor, they had there, big salary, big church, and we went down there, and it's like, "Yes, Lord, this is us, hallelujah," you know. So what I'm talking about right here, you know, ministry. Yeah, right. Anyway, so we're thinking we're going to go there. We go say yes. We put a deposit down on the house. And then things begin to fall through after that. And we started getting checked in our spirit. And we like, "God, why don't you want us to go here?" We're not feeling released to go. We ended up not going. It fell through. We lost our deposit we put down. I mean, I was upset. It was a bad experience. And I really wanted that. In my heart, I really wanted what that had to offer. But it didn't work through. And I was really mad at God. Like, "God, why would you dangle that carrot out in front of me and not to come through?" You know, a year later, that pastor got into so much strife with that church, he left the church. The church fell apart. I'd have been there right there in the middle of all that. I'm like, "Thank you, Lord, I was in the middle of all that. Thank you, God, that you didn't take me there, and I moved my family across the country, and I'm in the middle of all that. No, God, your ways are better than my ways." And if I'd have been in Indiana, who knows where I ended up. I wouldn't be here in the Four State area. Destiny Church probably wouldn't be here. But I stayed here in the area, and then God used that to get me to where I am today. And listen, sometimes we don't understand why God disappoints us, we think. But God's got a better plan. He's got a better plan for our life. Romans 8:28 says, all things, man, look at it. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good, for the good of those who love God and are all in, are called to his purpose. Those who are all in, God causes everything to turn out for good. Even though it may look like a dark season, God's got a plan. He's doing something in you. Learn to trust fully. As I look back at every difficult season of my life I've walked through, I can tell you it shaped me into the leader I am today. I wouldn't be the leader I am today if I hadn't walked through some very, I can tell you, in my teenage years, in my childhood, in my teenage years, in my 20s, in my 30s, I walked through some very challenging things in family and in ministry, and things that were very challenging, and they were very dark times, but they shaped me into the leader I am today. I wouldn't be who I am today if I hadn't walked through them. God had to strip some things out of my life to prepare me for the vision that he has for Destiny Church. And I wouldn't be there if I didn't walk through those dark seasons. Don't fret. My trust is in God, even when I don't get the answers I want. Even when things don't work out the way I want them to work out. In chapter 39, verses 22 and 23, we see Joseph here. Now he's in prison, okay? He's not just a slave. Now he's thrown in prison. Let me say this. This is not flat screen TV, three meals a day, prison. We're talking about primitive, prison, dungeon, torture chambers, the worst of the worst. Look what it says. Before long, he gets put in prison. What happens? Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. I mean, can you imagine this? It says the warden had no more worries. Have you ever heard of a warden ever saying, I have no more worries about this prison? I've watched enough documentaries and crime shows. I love to see the guys who escape and almost got away with it. I know. I like to watch them get caught, and I like to see how they figured out how they escape. Because you never know, my wife will falsely accuse me of something, and I got to escape from prison. I got to be ready. Just playing, honey. No, we like the shows. I love thinking and seeing these things. And, you know, and I've never seen once a warden who ever said, boy, I felt good. I felt really comfortable with all the prisoners. I left this prisoner in charge of everybody else. This is the favor that Joseph had. Are you seeing this? Even the warden said, you're in charge of this whole prison. I'll go play golf. We'll do some chariot races. And, man, you have fun. I'll come back and check on things in a little bit. I mean, he trusted Joseph with everything. He had no worries. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Where? God's with him in the pit. God's with him in the dream. God's with him in Potiphar's house when he's sold into slavery. He gets put in the dungeon. Who's with him? The Lord was with him. See, God has not abandoned him through our dark seasons. God is not leaving you through your dark season in life, through your challenges. God is right there. And God exalted him and caused everything in his dungeon to succeed. I don't care where God put you, when your trust is in the Lord, he can elevate you no matter what season you're in, what job it may be, what ministry it may be, what task may be at hand. When you put God first, you trust in him, he can exalt you in any season, and he doesn't leave you. He caused everything to work for good for Joseph. I love this because Joseph helps another prisoner get out of prison. One of the king's cupbearers was put in prison, and Joseph helps him interpret a dream and helps him get favor with the king, and he gets released. And Joseph's like, listen, dude, I only got one favor to ask you, okay? I've treated you well down here. I was always fair to you. I gave you special privileges down here. When you get back up there, can you put in a good word for the king and let him know that there's a man down here walking with integrity who was falsely accused? He's like, oh, don't worry, Joe. I got you, man. Joe, I got your back. And he gets out. What's he do? He forgets him. I mean, how disappointing is that? A man you helped get free, then gets free and forgets to come back and to help you. Which brings me to another point. I'll trust God even when I see he's forgotten me. Even when I feel he's forgotten me. I'll trust God even when I feel he has forgotten me. Sometimes it feels that way. God, you've forgotten me. You remember everybody else, but you have forgotten me. God, you've forgotten me. Deuteronomy 31:6 says it like this. Be strong. Listen today. Let me tell you this. To those that are weak today, walking through your dark season, be strong. Be of courage. Listen, Christianity is not for the weak today. Sometimes you're going to have dark seasons, and God says, be strong. It's okay. Put your big boy panties on. It's all right. Let's go. Come on now. Sometimes we just got to do something. It's all right to say, God says, be strong. Be of courage. Don't walk around like changing like the wind and the weather in Missouri. No, stay steady, even when you don't understand. Stay strong, even when you don't see things happen and you're disappointed. Stay strong. Take courage. Don't be intimidated. I love that. Don't be intimidated. I've been trying to instill that in my children all the days of their life. Don't you let anybody intimidate you. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. He says, listen, I know you're going through dark seasons, but it's okay. Be of courage. God is striding ahead of you. Come here, Hayden. Come here, I want to give you something. Hayden, where's his brother at? Landon, come here a second. See, this is the picture I want you to see. Come here, guys. Come up here on stage a second. Give these good-looking guys a hand here. Yeah, they look good. This is the one who's going to rule the world right here. He told Pastor TJ not too long ago, he says, one day this church is going to be mine and you're going to work for me. That's what he told him the other day. Now, I know you may have a hard time believing this, but there's only 2 years to separate these two boys. This one here has been eating steroids for the last 3 years, and he's a big boy. He's bigger than his daddy. I'm walking around with a limp today because this boy jumped in my back the other day, and I'm like, I can't take it. He likes anchoring the line this year up there, and he's a big boy, and he's doing a good job. There's a reason why they're putting him in the anchor to the line. He's a big boy. And you know what? This kid is always running. He's always writing checks. His mouth is always writing checks. I'm afraid his body can't cash in one day. But there's something, I watch this, it's really funny. There's something about it when he's around his big brother. That even though Landon doesn't see it, that when he's around his friends and he's around his big brother, he walks, his chest is high, it's like this. He's looking up like this, and he is like, yeah. I dare you to say anything to me now. My brother's right here. Where are those kids at that were chasing me down the block? Come here. Let's go play basketball, Landon. Come on. He wants his brother to go down. He walks around a little with confidence, right? He walks around with a lot more confidence when he knows his big brother is walking ahead of him. Are you following the illustration here? Sometimes today that we feel like we're walking through dark seasons and God says, hey, pick up your head, be of courage. I'm walking, striding ahead of you. I've got this. It may seem dark, but I got your back. I'm walking ahead of you. Thank guys. I've got this. I've got this. Don't be intimidated. I've got this. Stay strong in your trust. Stay strong in your faith. He says, count it all joy when you go through hard times, dark seasons. God's working, perfecting our faith in us. He's trying to do a work in us. So what happens in this story? We see where he's in prison. And Genesis 41:41. That cupbearer goes back up 2 years later and says, hey, Pharaoh's like, man, I got a dream that needs to be interpreted. Can you answer this? And nobody can seem to give me the answers. All my hired guys, no one can give me the answer to my dreams. And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Joe. He's in prison. Man, he know he can interpret dreams. I forgot all about him. He helped me get out of here. He's the one to help me. He goes, I bet he could help you out, King. And so he called for Joseph. And Pharaoh gives Joseph his dream, and he gets the interpretation through the Holy Spirit. He tells the dream interpretation to the king, and the king says, oh, that's the answer. He goes, come here. Look what his response to Joseph was. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring. Now listen, he goes, put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his ring and placed it on his finger. He gives him the gold MasterCard. He's like, man, you can buy anything in the kingdom. Just stamp your ring. It's yours. It's yours. Man, you got full reign of the kingdom. Everything is yours. And so he placed it on his right finger. He dressed him in robes of linen, fine linen. Now listen, he may have lost one robe before he went in the pit. But how many know when you stay faithful to God, God can replace anything you've lost? He lost one nice robe, but now he gets many robes of fine linen. He gets a gold chain put around his neck. God has given him a swag back right there. And he had him ride in a chariot in his second in command. Can you see this? He goes from the prison to the palace in one day. See, when you trust in the Lord, even though the season may seem long, it may seem like you're walking through a desert in dark time, when God is in full control of your life, he can take you from the dungeon, from the prison, to the palace in a matter of one day. Look at this statement I made. I believe it's so true. Being head of Potiphar's house, it was nice. But being ruler over all Egypt, it was better. It's so much better. It was better. I mean, God, look what I did. I was in charge of all of Potiphar's house. And I lost that. She lied on me. I lost my coat my dad gave me. It was so special. I could have been ruler of Potiphar's house, but God had a plan for him to rule over Egypt, and he never would have walked in that destiny if he hadn't went through the pit, if he hadn't went through the prison, if he hadn't went through those things. I'm telling you, fully in trust. Oh, I want to walk in my palace. It requires being let down. It requires being lied about. It requires being falsely accused. It requires being forgotten. It requires spending time in dark seasons of your life. Why did God want him to do that? Because he was trying to take him somewhere. And he had to work some things out in Joseph's life. Can you imagine if Joseph had been sold into slavery, and then immediately after that he gets promoted to king, the ruler over Egypt? What would have happened when his brothers came? Remember the famine happened, and he was in charge of all the food supply, and they come to him, telling their dad he had been died, and they betrayed him, and now they walk up to him, and they're like, oh, Joe, his dream was true. Don't have mercy, don't kill us. Don't kill us, Joe. They begin to tremble in fear. And if that had been you and me, if that had been Joseph, if that had happened right away, he would have said the same thing you and I would have. I told you, you fools, I was going to rule over you and you're going to bow to me. Put them in prison for the rest of their lives. They sold me to slavery. Put them in prison. Make them pay for what they did to me. Make them pay. But see, being thrown in the pit, spending those many years in the dungeon humbled him. And when he got out and faced his brothers, instead of condemning them, he was moved with compassion. He brought restoration to his family. He brought forgiveness here to his family. Brothers, just forgive him. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. I wouldn't be the leader I am today if I hadn't lived through those dark seasons. I forgive you. You see, God's wanting you to have that kind of power where you can give forgiveness to those who have hurt you. God's wanting to do something where you can extend restoration to those who need it. God's wanting to do something in your life where you can have the power to forgive the unforgivable. Sometimes it's got to take us through those dark seasons. Sometimes it's got to take us through the challenge. We say, God, I fully trust in you no matter the season. No matter what happens, my trust is fully in you. I want you to bow your heads. Today, I want to ask you a simple question, but maybe the most important question you've ever been asked in your life. Today, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus. I've never made a decision to follow after Christ. But today, I want to accept what he did on the cross, when he died for me on the cross. I want to accept the grace that's given to me. I want to accept what he did. I want to ask Jesus into my heart today, confess him as Lord of my life, and accept the work of the cross in my life. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life today, you want to accept that work of grace. Can you just raise your hand to me? I want to accept Jesus. We won't do anything to embarrass you. Nobody's looking at me. I want to make sure you have a chance to respond. Can you raise your hand? Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? Thank you. Anybody else? I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thanks, guys, for being honest. If you haven't raised yet, I'm going to ask you one more time. Raise it right now. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Lots of hands going up. We're going to say a prayer together. Those of you who raise your hands, I want you to say it out loud. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I accept the work of the cross. I accept your grace in my life. I submit now to your lordship in my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name. You're
prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it in your heart, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a hand. Thank you. Let me say this. If you prayed that prayer, it's just the beginning. This is a new journey that God's wanting you to go on. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, we want you to stop by our welcome center in the back and pick up a free Bible. Inside that Bible, it's got some next steps, the things you need to begin to do next on this new journey. You need to be plugged into a church home. If you don't have one, come, let us be with you. If you have one, go back and tell one of your leaders, hey, I gave my heart to Christ today. It's very important to have a church family to connect with you. How many today did you stand? I'm glad you all stand. How many days did you say, Pastor, I want to get past my trust issues. Today you were speaking to me, and I realized I've got some trust issues in my life. Anybody want to raise your hand and say to you, yeah, several hands going up. Yeah, it's all right. Hey, it's good. We confess to each other sometimes. Hey, I've got some trust issues, things I'm working on. And I need to give it over to God and learn to be all in with my trust in God. We're going to sing this song in closing today. It simply says, there's power in the name of Jesus to break those chains in our lives. Those chains of fear, those chains of not trusting, they can fall off today. Let's go all in. So God has given you everything.
Come on, if you know this song, help me sing it out this morning. Y'all ready? Come on, let's declare.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Guys, make sure you sign up.